It's sysadmin day. Do you know where your IT pros are? We don't. Hey, by the way, be nice. Give your IT pros a big old hug today. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys doing every sysadmin a favor by not entering a single Switch room today. It's Patch and Switch.
Isn't it fun?
What's that?
Just, they actually have a day for sysadmins.
I know, but I don't, I'm pretty sure the only people who know it's sysadmin day.
Yeah, the sysadmins.
Oh, the sysadmins.
Yeah, I know.
Do we get flowers? Do we get coffee from our secretary?
Oh, we had to unmute the
guest.
Yeah,
we had to unmute the guest. The guest is talking out of line.
Hello, guest.
Hello.
Insert name here. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
So in case you don't know, we decided to invite one of our friends who's in from out of town.
So I want to know who the we is.
We? Well, me, myself, and I.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know, he's Mr. Pierre Romain. Pierre Romain.
Local poutine. Everybody's getting a good shot on my bald spot.
No, you got it. He's a poutine expert from Canada.
Is that his official title?
His official title and expertise.
I see.
And he's joining us here in the room today just to basically say hello, wave to the camera over there, hello. That's the only camera shot that we have.
The security cam.
Hang on, I've got breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Fairbrit says it's also the final day of National Ice Cream Month.
I didn't even know it was a month. That's good.
I think that's awesome. But does that mean since I didn't know about it, I've got to put 30 days of... Ice cream into one day.
So I say we have ice cream for lunch, ice cream for breakfast. I already had breakfast. Ice cream for lunch, ice cream for dinner, ice cream for snacks. That can work. We can fit it in.
And ice cream for late night snack.
That could work too.
I think I've gained 5 pounds just listening to that.
The best tweet that I've seen so far was actually from InfoSec Taylor Swift, who said,
InfoSec Taylor Swift.
Happy Sysadmin Day. Don't buy your IT staff pizza. Just don't click on links in email.
Yeah.
That's probably the best one yet I've seen.
Oh, goodness gracious. We should probably say good morning to everybody who showed us in the chat room.
in the fat room.
Because we're talking about ice cream, it's become the fat room.
Nice.
Fairbrit, Buckeye guy, J-Flow. My man J-Flow in the house. Tom Kupka, Pierre Roman, who's in the room. Vizio MVP, J-Shock. And Mr. Beckman.
Nice. Nice to all join us.
Hey,
today.
Kyle.
Nice. Nice to see us all in the same spot.
I'm going to get sued just for using that voice, aren't I?
The good thing is, you know, no official people listen to this.
No, it looks like Kenji. Kenji's joined us as well. See, people are jumping on late. And Ledwig has joined.
So apparently they didn't get the tweet that I sent out yesterday. There is an official must get inside your schedule ICS file stored on Channel 9 and now accessible inside Twitter. And I will be making a link and a button when I figure out how to make a link and a button on the main page.
So we actually have...
It says
what does it say inside the invite?
It says technical webcast. Just so that it's work safe. And it has a link for...
Can you set it to private?
I didn't set it to private. That's an individual setting. But then it goes in and it has a link to the website, patchandswitch.com, which is the redirect to the Channel 9 page. And it has our single tagline of two guys talking about IT.
Right.
Whatever, something like that.
He doesn't know what they're doing.
So it's kind of funny. And I have another announcement in case anyone else is interested, because I have been doing extensive promotional work for Patch and Switch Show.
Have you?
Yeah, we are now officially...
Did you spend about 2.5 minutes?
It was about that. Two and a half minutes.
It was about that.
We are now officially listed as a podcast that is inside iTunes.
So we're kind of a big deal now, at least according to my kids, because they saw Patch and Switch in the podcast list.
Yep,
and they're like, you're in iTunes.
You guys are celebrities.
I've made it.
We have also been registered inside the BlackBerry podcast directory as well. So
Does that mean that everybody in South Africa can now listen?
South Africa can now listen to us as well, yes.
Oh, perfect.
And the Canadian government. Because they don't have the electronic monitoring means that the NSA have in the States, and so they have to use iTunes podcast directories to eavesdrop on top of stuff.
Well, we don't have that much budget.
It's all been cut, right?
This show doesn't have any budget.
That's why they like the show so much, because it literally is just whatever we can scrape together out of my change.
You know, one thing I have noticed, though, is that there is a massive equipment behind us here, like on the floor.
I was going to save that till we get the random spending, because it was, but technically it wasn't our random spending that did it.
We'll save it for that part.
Okay, we'll save it for that. We'll save it for that.
Hey, so everybody out there, big wishes, big happy sys admin day. I know that, you know, what we do as a tire. Well, I shouldn't say we because I don't really do it anymore. Well, actually, you know what? That's not true. I am a sys admin. Just ask my boss, who was trying to update to Windows 8. That's a story for coming
update
forward.
Update to Windows 8 or from Windows 8?
Update to Windows 8. Sorry. What? It's early. I haven't had coffee. Thankless, tireless job. So I know most people. You know, I think for sys admin day, nobody should be allowed to enter in any trouble tickets.
Mm-hmm.
All I mean, I think
I second the motion.
Yeah, I think that just needs to be a default setting built into all help desk software that no trouble tickets are allowed to be no new trouble tickets. Now, if you had previously entered one,
yeah, it's still going to be worked on.
It's still going to be worked on, but the SLA for today completely wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, the SLA for today is 100%, and it can't go lower. So you will by default one day a year get a 100%. SLA agreement from your help desk.
That could work. I think we could make a motion on that. We could definitely make a motion on that.
Ladwig says, or you can just ignore anything that's submitted. Which, you know,
that kind of reminds me of the old bastard operator from hell stories. I'm showing my age here.
Yes. So
ID10T
error. Sysadmin unavailable today. Please, as InfoSec Taylor Swift said, yeah, please don't click those links in the email. Are you done? Because you know we're on the air, right?
No, I'm
not the most
not great audio stuff.
No,
sorry,
it's really not. It's really not. So today's show, just like every other show, we have broken into segments, and the segments begin first off with from the trenches. And from the trenches being the stories that you tell, that we tell from your world in IT.
With the release of Windows 10, I'm assuming
it's been
that
a big week.
It's been a very big week. I'm assuming that there's been a lot of people that have actually gone and deployed Windows 10 that's out there. According to a stat that was released yesterday, 14 million devices were upgraded on day one to Windows 10. That's not just like the license was sold and never deployed. This is actually telemetry data about the devices that were actually released and upgraded, which is very, very cool. My work from the trenches was actually, there's a big technical conference going on here at Tech Ready. And one of the lovely benefits of going to this conference is that you have offsites for your different various teams. And in this case, the team offsite that I went to was for the big team. Most of the IT pro infrastructure folks, like Pierre and myself and others, were kind of sitting at the main center table. But I plop out my laptop, my Surface, I open it up and turn it on, and my system is in the middle of finishing its install of Windows 10 because it was deployed to
yes.
my system.
And you're an insider, right?
And I'm an insider. And yeah. It was the MSIT build, which is just the one that we use for work. And I stayed connected at the internet at the house long enough to finish the download. And then once the download was finished, I basically turned the power off of my Surface, hightailed it in to make the meeting downtown because it's a long commute to get there, and then turned it on and basically watched my system go ahead and do the install. Very
nice.
Cool.
Very
and
nice.
It just, you know, went fine. It was great.
So I was reading an article last night after the 14 million updated devices came out, and the pundits are already at it.
Hmm?
They're saying, yeah, 14 million, far short of the stated billion goal.
Okay, we didn't say billion in the first day.
I just found that rather amusing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
To me, it was a brilliant idea to be able to say offer the upgrade to people. Right?
Actually,
it's an absolutely brilliant idea.
That was my from the trenches. I remoted into my mother's, my father's, my sister's, my nephew, my mother-in-law, father-in-law, and I just hit the...
Yes, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
So nice. I'm in... My home PC is actually in the staged group in that I haven't gotten it yet because the live ID that's attached to that machine is not the one that I've used as an insider.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in the staging.
Now, I've got a question because this is more of a beer money thing. Yours is kind of beer money, but not really. But my wife's hasn't gotten the notification to say, do you want to get Windows?
Is her Microsoft account attached?
Her Microsoft account is attached.
She's still running XP?
Fully updated.
I think it might be user error on my part. Surprise, surprise.
Paused.
No, because I have her set up to Windows Intune, And I don't know if I've authorized updates to be able to say, yes, allow the update request to come down to say, load that little widget.
So you got Intune to manage your home machines?
Yes. It's my
You're a control freak.
It's the way to make sure that I don't have any problems with the miscellaneous Java viruses that my kids might end up landing on by going to Minecraft skins pages and stuff like that. Because for some reason, my wife likes to let the kids use her account as opposed to their account, which I set up correctly on her laptop. But that's
just so a lot easier.
Yeah, I know. It's
whichever
just the
account
wrong way to
do is it. Logged on at the time.
Of course, they just grab it, right? But that's more, again, that's more of a beer money side of things. So work-wise, my install, great, looking good. I salvaged a PC Recycle server.
Have you been digging in the bins again?
So we told you about this a while ago. Microsoft goes through PC refreshes and stuff like that. And when there's moves that go on, they have PC Recycle bins that have, you know, old hardware inside of them that people like us just like to hang on to. And then they just eventually go and they put inside that bin. And so I found that there's this big freaking massive piece of hardware that was in there. It's a Dell Precision workstation.
If you get two of those and a plywood, you can have a desk.
They're pretty big. They would definitely work. The problem was it was missing RAM. So it had the procs in it, but no RAM. It still had some hard drives in it. So someone scavenged the RAM.
And this that's probably all that is worth it at this point.
It was about 5 years old, 4 years old. But there are two dual Xeon 6-core boxes that are inside this guy. So I was
at
talking
786 hertz.
So
you got to feed the hamster.
I sent a note over to my buddy next door, good old Matt McSpirit. He's got connections. There's apparently a mail alias that the lab managers are on at Microsoft.
Yeah,
and they have an own internal sysadmin trading swap barter system. And so he basically said, "Yeah, I got this device out of the PC Recycle bin. I'm looking for some." DIM DDR3 1033 megahertz ECC RAM for this blah blah blah. And then like within 5 minutes he had four emails back, a guy from North Carolina, a guy from Building 42, a guy from someplace else, like, yeah man, we just upgraded ours, I've got a bunch of 2 gig sticks if you want them. And then interoffice mail, these sticks arrive, it's perfect. So now we actually have an on-premises server that is now nicely heating my office to be able to do some hybrid stuff with that.
And drowning the sound that's from the other offices, because thing is loud.
It's actually not that bad. This is the Precision workstations have large-scale fans as opposed to the servers down the hall. The servers in the PC, in the I don't know what lab it is. There's some lab down around by my place where they have racks and racks of 1U servers with like high-speed, high-pitched whining fans 24 hours a day. Like all the guys that work in that room all have the earmuffs on that just save their ears.
Yeah.
But you can still hear through the walls. It's pales in comparison to that one.
Mr. Bickman says that RAM is probably a few $100 a stick, so keep hold of that. You never know what the eBay resale value is on. I'm just kidding. We'd never do that.
No, we don't do that. But
you just peel off the asset tag sticker on it.
Amazon, not to plug Amazon. Amazon had matched pair sticks. I want to say 2 gigs for $66.
Wow.
So I don't know if that was like off the boat from middle of nowhere or off the back of a truck.
You'd need eight, at least.
It's probably off the back of the truck. So each processor has 12 RAM slots associated with it, and you have to put it in pairs on both sides because it was the early NUMA architectures. So, yeah.
Tommy needs to put
Thank you. Shout out to Matt McSpirit if you're around listening to us wherever you are.
I think he's at the Hackfest that you're supposed to be at right now.
Don't say that.
It's okay. I think our boss is not in the chat room.
He's like, where are
What about you,
guys?
Man? You doing any work recently?
Wow. Nice shot.
Kaboom.
I've been on the road. It's conference season. It's been conference chaos. I've been in Orlando, I think, more than I've been here this month, officially.
Visiting the mouse, are you?
No, I wish. I wish I could say that. I was actually at the Orlando Convention Center the entire time. And you know what? I do have to say, we've done the events. We've done Tech Ed at the Orlando Conference Center. It took me all about 2.5 seconds from walking into the building to remembering every single shortcut to get around that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that place is huge.
Yes, it's absolutely mad. But it's such a great place for an event because, you know, it is. It is just that you have that big mega room. You just need to know, am I on the north side or am I on the south side?
And you can cut through, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, all the awesome restaurants on I Drive and all the things go there. It took me no time to find Miller's Ale House or whatever the place was that we frequented quite frequently in the last.
What are you saying?
They still do 2-for-1 drinks after 10 p.m. But beside that, when I came back to the office on Monday, which I wasn't actually supposed to be here, but I was here anyway, immediately began having to resolve issues on the team with various machines. They're like, well, I need to back this up. How do I do that? And I need to get this. I'm like, you know those pop-ups that pop up all the time that IT sends us saying, please configure your folder redirection and
file history.
File history and everything else so that you don't have to worry about that. Yep. And then, of course, actually, I was very surprised. Tuesday went extremely smooth. I mean, nobody was coming to my office. I'm like, all right, we're just going to sit and, you know, watch everything happen. And then yesterday. Actually, I should say Wednesday went really smooth because Windows 10 was Wednesday. Yeah,
I'm lost. Right?
I think it was Wednesday.
Friday. Yeah. I know today's Friday. Friday. Yes.
It was Wednesday. So,
what happened, man?
One of the folks on my team who will remain nameless, but he also does a podcast, comes to my office and he says to me, "Hey,
no, really?
Hey, I upgraded my desktop." So he'd done his Surface before. I'd helped him on his Surface. He had a minor issue with his Surface, but managed to fix it.
He's running Windows XP now.
He says, I've updated to Windows 10 on my desktop, but my second monitor won't work. So what do you think the first question is that I asked?
Is it plugged in?
No, I said, have you rebooted?
Okay, reinitialize the driver.
And he says no, because I don't need to, because during the install it rebooted a bunch of times. And he's like, no, you need to reboot. No, just come to my office. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all of a sudden PTSD kicks in, right? I feel like I've just gone back in my career by 8 years, and I'm back at the help desk, right?
The last 8 years were just a big dream sequence.
Yes, exactly. All of a sudden, I'm like, what? You mean I never worked for Microsoft?
Oh, my gosh.
And Windows 10 is out? Wait, how did this happen?
I had the weirdest dream. They skipped 9 for some reason. I don't know why.
So,
want some churros?
Want some churros. Oh. So I go back... I go back to his office and I'm like, hey, open up Device Mangler. And he's like, what? I'm like, Device Manager. I'm like, we have names for, you know.
Disk Mangler.
Well, he calls SQL Management Studio SQL Damage.
SQL Damage Studio.
Yeah. So anyway, I went in. Of course, opened up Device Manager and looked and saw the little yellow bang. And he's like, look, I can't update it. I can't do anything. I says, have you rebooted? He's like, no, I don't need to reboot. I rebooted 4 times. I'm like, just reboot. And then he started to argue and I just took control of the mouse and it went start shut down. And magically enough, just right after post, both monitors show up. Shocker. Shocker. And so for everybody who makes fun of sysadmins on today's sysadmin day for saying, have you rebooted? Mm-hmm. There is a reason that we ask you to reboot your machine. And then, of course, in the chat room, Beckman says, Windows 10 kills all the monitors except for the primary when a new video driver installs until you reboot.
Yep.
And guess what happens at the end of the installation cycle? We install other drivers.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes.
Always fun.
I can't believe it. It's just funny, man. I'm still thinking of the dream sequence.
and there was this guy with this hat. And we did a podcast.
We called it Patch and Switch. I don't know.
That's like, a good idea.
How long have you been asleep?
8 hours.
That's a long freaking dream sequence.
15 minutes, that's all.
Let's see. Phil Erb has joined us in the chat room. So welcome. As has Foul Temper.
That's new.
And that's Foul as in F-O-W-L.
So, that is a good name. Yes. I like that one there.
Yeah, I like that one. A good name. Like that one a lot. I have also done a couple of other just kind of minor, you know, help with the Windows 10 in configuring Outlook.
So a little later today.
Yeah. Sorry.
Name.
Yeah.
Alias.
Yeah. Oh, look, password. It finds it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm done.
A little later today, I'm going to be taking
$50, please.
I'm going to be taking Mr. Roman down to a dev hackfest a little bit later on.
Hey, Foul Temper just posted in the chat room. He doesn't tweet. He quacks.
Nice. We're going to be going to a special company dev hackfest.
Yeah, and they really want me in back of a keyboard coding.
We're going to be there supporting the coding.
Somebody needs to run the infrastructure.
Someone needs to run the infrastructure. I'm willing to bet that we're going to get questions about why printers aren't working. and things like that. But we're there, team player. But part of that discussion actually had us come up with a new idea for T-shirts. I want to make T-shirts that say, like an arrow pointing to the left and says, I'm with a dev over there. And on the back of it, it has the arrow pointing to the left as well. And it says, Ops fix all his stuff. For dev ops. Front to back.
I see.
Something like that. I'm still working on it.
Can we get budget?
No.
We don't do budget.
But it's an overnight thing, but the silly part is that they scheduled the beer party during the Hackfest. So I might have to disappear.
So it's a 24-hour Hackfest.
24-hour Hackfest.
With a party in the middle.
Party in the middle. So I don't know about many of the ops guys coming back after the party starts.
It's kind of like a mullet.
I'm thinking I go straight to the beer.
So we're going to be having some beer. Good old taps. What, 150 odd taps on tap?
Yeah, Tap House.
Tap House.
Yeah. Yep. So that's where we're heading today.
You know, this week we've had a lot of events going on here on campus. It's been the 1 week where we have a Hackfest during 1 week. And several members of my team did some really cool things.
Nice. Are they announcing winners today for that one?
I'm not sure. Also, Imagine Cup.
Yes.
Which I believe the winners have been announced at this point in time because the event did start at 8 a.m.
Right.
I wasn't able to see which team had won, but I had gone to several of the presentations. And watched a lot of it online as well. The lovely Golnaz G Money being the hostess with the mostest,
nice.
And you know, much like we are in terms of walking around and being quasi noticeable at Ignite or Tech Ed, Golnaz, everybody's swamping Golnaz. But hilarious. What was really cool is actually yesterday, I noticed a lot of tweets where people were raiding the building 20 Channel 9 studios, and the students were getting their pictures taken on the Channel 9 set.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was fantastic. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
This is really cool. But, you know, a lot of the students are here. They're doing some stuff. We've got some internal stuff. You mentioned Tech Ready. We've also got this Hackfest. Somebody on my team is actually working with one of the premier neurologists at the University of Washington. Along with some other guys who have been doing some work on sensors for helmets for sports.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just the sensors, it's the data behind it. And, you know, kind of looking at the machine learning to understand better concussions. And one of the interesting notes that he brought up is he says, you know, we've registered some hits at well over 100. I'm not sure what the measurement is. In terms of, it's like a gravity type factor.
Yeah, I remember the shock stickers that they always do on MythBusters. That
they put so on top of guys they've got to hits see well over 100, 112, where there's no damage, and hits of 2 that actually have caused concussions.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool, just, you know, kind of watching this. Obviously, it's going to take time. You've got to get a lot of data and everything. But that I thought that was one of the super cool little projects. There was a ton of great projects at the Hackfest. So
I'll volunteer my hockey helmet for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
There you go. So yeah, busy week.
I got a chance to coach some of the five teams that were in the Imagine Cup: the Canada, U.S., I want to say Italy. Who was it? Malaysia and Nepal and Netherlands. I think it was.
I went through all their booth at the at the Ask the Expert night.
Yeah.
And some of them had like really sweet solution. I asked one of the teams. I said, can I buy that now?
Right now.
Right, take my money.
Yeah.
Ludwig says the Imagine Cup champion will be announced around noon Pacific time. I know that actually we probably...
It was announced
because
at the keynote.
they did the final presentation today, this morning.
Yeah. They had to do a 10-minute presentation Wednesday, and then from there they came up with the 3 minutes.
Yeah,
in the 3 minutes ones, and the 3 minute one pitches, I believe, were the finalists in all the different categories, and then they were doing their thing.
And I think that's all already happened, or it's happening right now because they are doing the event downtown. Right?
Yeah, and so. I know it is being streamed live.
The winner will be announced at the keynote.
Yeah, noon. Yeah. The noon keynote.
Is there a second general session?
There's today? It's the Imagine Cup one. So
yeah.
Most people show up for it.
Gotcha. Well, that means I might be able to make it down.
The
big supporter of the Imagine Cup.
And just so Ludwig knows, I coached both the Canada and the U.S. team, not just the Canada team. For being able to,
you
do
put a loony in the U.S. guy's shoe, didn't you?
Shh.
I knew it.
A toonie, actually, it's more powerful. A toonie.
Okay, gotcha.
You can hide the loony. The toonie is a two-tone metal, so you can't hide that one as easy. So is my bag bothering you there?
My chair grabbed that chair and just kind of started going with me. So we've gotten 25 minutes of the show through one segment.
Nice!
I think we're doing well today.
So, Pierre, you said you had a beer money. Beer money is the segment of the show where we normally do... we have a sound? No, that's beer talk we have a sound for.
I don't know. We can...
We're just falling apart with our level of professionalism.
Ka-ching! Does that work?
No, hang on. Let's do this.
Get the right one. Get the right one. Oh, there he is. Oh, yep. That was random spending. There we go. That's beer money.
Well, I know. I did both of the same. Because,
You can mix them.
Yes.
You can mix them together.
I'm so professional.
Beer money.
Digital.
So you were moted into all of your significant others, friends, families, and relatives' machines to say go for
the
updates.
Yes, because I am the family IT pro.
What are you using for the remote capabilities?
Actually, I use TeamViewer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because if you use it for non-commercial, it's free.
Yep.
And I've set it up on my extended family's computers. It's running on all of them, but it's running in the background, and they don't have to click the accept.
Oh, so I could attach up to their systems if I need the right password.
I did password protect it.
Okay.
Could you at least change the ports?
Yeah. Is the ports the same?
I can't remember.
They're the same.
So, can someone please start the IP sweep scan
for all of Canada
and Sweden?
Well, that'll take 2 minutes.
That'll take 2 minutes.
Switzerland, not Sweden.
Sweden. It's an S word. I'm geographically challenged. And it worked like remotely, all fine. It's all good, all rebooted. No questions that came up. No one left a floppy disk in the drive to keep it from rebooting.
I did get an email from my dad saying, "It looks different." What did you do?
Nice.
But other than that, no, everything's fine.
Nice. The floppy disk comment actually just made me think of some of the best swag that we got. Do you have one on you right now?
Oh, I left it on my desk.
Oh, for dev.office.
Dev.office.
Yeah, you can thank my team for that.
It's a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk.
Yes.
That actually has printed material on the envelope.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's brilliant.
Yes.
I'm brilliant.
Yeah,
I have the best team ever.
Instead of a business card to hand to somebody or whatever it is, they actually give you a 5 1/4 inch floppy drive.
So as soon as I get home, because I got a 5 1/4 inch diskette in an enclosure that you plug in with the USB. So I'm actually going to see if there's anything on it.
It's probably some Easter egg.
Is there anything on it?
He's not going to tell you.
What do you think I'm going to tell you? We don't need to run Nmap and sweep his systems anymore once he plugs that in.
Right on, buddy. Auto run on a 5 1/4. Pierre Ma is the only person infected in the year 2015 with a 5 1/4 floppy disk.
So here's the question, and I'm not sure if you guys remember. What was the max size of storage on the 5 1/4 inch floppy?
If only we had like a service like Bing.
No. 1.44 was the 3.5.
Yeah, it was the 3.5.
No, the 1.44 was the 3.5. But 1.2.
No, it never made 1.2 up there on the 5.25.
360 on each side.
See, we were thinking 768, but oh, that would that might
360 on each side.
Double density discs, dudes.
Yeah, I remember because I had
remember
that punch.
Cutting the notch.
I had the punch.
Oh man, I just used the hole punch. I would take the three banger hole punch and line it up right and kunk, make it work.
Foul Tepper says 1.2 meg. Sean Lowe says 512K. I thought it was
360.
I remember 12-inch diskettes. Yeah.
If only there was this service on the internet that we could use to ask it. We should develop that. That would be an amazing hack fest.
Ask Cortana.
I'm doing that right now, man. See what she
says. I have it.
1.2 megabyte in the MFM format.
Cortana.
So if it was MFM format, it was 1.2 megabytes.
5.25 disk.
360K.
360K.
That's what I said.
Was
the original. Okay, so I was close. I said 360K.
You guys won't stop talking. She's keeping on translating you.
It's a talk show.
It would be kind of boring if we weren't talking.
Wait, I can't wait to see if she comes back with.
She's just going to do a web search for you.
Oh, it says Everything Cafe. It's a web search.
Gotcha.
Very confused.
Hey, you were away. I forgot to ask you. Did you happen to catch Mr. Claus without his hat on camera?
No.
Got to watch the Ping Show.
We did a patriotic Ping Show, and I took the hat off.
Okay, so I have to say that Phil Erb, thank you, sir. Phil Erb has posted the link in the chat room to the Wikipedia article with a chart.
Yes. Oh.
That's what I was looking at.
So 5.25 inch from 1978. Oh my gosh. 5.25 inch Apple Disc II pre-DOS in 1978 was 113K.
Yeah.
The Atari version, 90K.
Yeah. It's, so what are we talking about for the PC industry?
So I think we kind of agreed that it was 360K up to 1.2 meg.
Yeah.
Once you got dual
1982.
Yeah, once you got the dual density, right? Dual density or dual sided? Yeah. Dual sided.
Dual sided. It was high density.
Ah, gotcha.
I love the. It just reminds me of my old 1542 hard drive for my Commodore 64.
The tape?
No. The hard drive. You get the hard drive. 1542.
Sean Lowe says his first hard drive was 20 meg. Of 20 meg MFM hard drive, and he said, I could get so much on that. MS-DOS FAT is 1.2 meg, according to Foul Temper.
Nice. Very nice.
Have you guys seen that Halt and Catch Fire show on AMC?
So we're talking about... So the audio guy without a microphone is like, have you seen Halt and Catch Fire? Yes, absolutely, I have. It's a brilliant show. You should watch it.
Yeah.
Get caught up. Do some binge watching.
You got to binge watch season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Binge watch season one. It's fantastic show.
Send me a note on that. I haven't seen that yet. Okay.
Yeah, it goes back to the days of the, you know, when they're like
reverse engineering IBM PC.
We've got 2K of memory. That's a lot.
Nice.
Well, isn't it somebody said sometime that we'd never need more than 640Ks?
I don't know. I mean, at some point, I'm sure somebody said we don't need more than a terabyte.
That was a Bill quote.
Was
that a Bill quote?
Yeah. What about you, home stuff? Beer money. Any beer money work you've been doing?
No, I've not been home, so that makes beer money really easy.
Have you been doing
no support on airplanes either.
But what about your road family? You know, all the people that we hang out with and do events with, stuff like that?
Yeah,
they have no tech problems?
No. I did answer a question. I think we talked about this in between, because I came back for WPC where I just happened to be standing around the booth and did a quick little Azure demo for somebody who's like, well, I want to see what a real customer looks like. And I'm like, well,
let me show you
because I'm running this.
Yeah.
And, no, that's your Microsoft. No, that's my personal.
Oh, nice.
And you see that, yes, that's how I run my Minecraft server.
That works. Definitely works.
Kyle Beckman says Mr. Robot on USA is good, too. I watched the first episode. Watched the second episode. Was really not happy with the second episode, so... Mr. Beckman, if you can tell me if any episode beyond episode 2 is good, then I'll continue to watch. Otherwise, I was ready to disconnect after the second episode, because the first one was so good. And the second one, I'm like, oh God, they've just completely shattered it all.
My beer money exchange is actually with someone I work with on a board of directors. Thank you for youth sports. He owns a commercial construction company. And trying to get his email to work on his phone. The phone is an unknown Origin Verizon Android device that he calls his construction phone, because it literally can be dropped in a glass of water. It can be run over by a truck. And
you
it can,
should have one
I
of those.
I should definitely have one of those, but it's running a really old version of Android, and it looks as though it only is actually able to have one male client talking to one account, and that's it. So it's like a smartphone that's got a lobotomy. It's, I don't even know what version of Android's running
on. It's like one of those flip phones going, can I get to Facebook on this?
At least I'll give him credit. It's not a flip phone. I think it's a camshell.
What's wrong
where
with
it
flip
opens
phones?
Up like this.
I bought a case of flip phones on eBay.
Yeah?
12.
On purpose?
On purpose. Because 12 Motorola Razors.
Yeah.
They come with individual.
Wow, I haven't heard of
the
Razor.
So here's
in a
the
while.
Thing. When you owned a Razor, you had status.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Right? Is that why you bought them?
No.
You still don't have that status.
No, I don't. I have no status. But my mom, like, tried to get her a smartphone, and she's just kind of looking at it with the deer in the headlights look.
But
she tried. She just can't wrap her head around it. So I bought her 12. I bought her a Razor. But she keeps dropping them and busting them, or they break, or the battery. So I just
is the Razor even work on the digital spectrum, or is it still analog?
Oh yeah.
I thought it was still analog.
They're all unlocked, of course.
Yeah.
I just put the SIM card in it, and it works. So when she comes to my house and it's not working, and I've got it configured, so it saves all the contacts to the SIM card. So
there
I just
you go.
Put it into the next phone. Here you go.
Nice. See, it could be to the point where we start passing out little things like the 5 1/4 inch floppy diskettes, but instead put them on Razor phones. Have a sticker for the back of the Razor phone, hand it to someone. Here you go.
I have a feeling that the price per unit isn't quite there yet.
I have a whole drawer full of Windows Mobile that I could probably do that with, of different devices.
I have a bag.
Yeah.
It's actually referred to as the bag of phone at home.
The bag of phone.
So,
but see, the whole problem with doing this and using one of those old devices as a marketing tool is that you've got guys like Pierre who's still going to go home and try to see what's on that 5 1/4 inch floppy.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Very true. I was given a USB Pet Rock.
I actually laughed very, very hard when I saw that in your office the other day.
It comes in a little box with little holes in the box to make sure the rock has air, a little nest on the bottom of it. And it actually
I was wondering what the hell that was.
It comes from the bottom of the data lake of Azure. And it has a USB cable that comes out of it. I'm scared to plug it in case there's actually something on the rock. The guy that gave it to me won't tell me what it does when you plug it in, so it's just going to sit there,
sandboxed,
air gap network for my little USB rock.
You know what?
I'll tweet a picture of it out.
That
when I get
has
back
to
my
be
office.
The next patch and switch flag. Period. We need patch and switch branded USB pet rocks. I'm not kidding.
I'm not quitting.
The engineer.
Come
quits.
On.
Yep.
After the show, please.
I mean, we could probably engineer even if there's nothing in this one, we could make it better. We could put like one of those little teeny tiny micro USB sticks. For like 128 gig of RAM or something like that, and then stick it inside.
And have the patch and switch music playing automatically when you plug it in.
A lifetime, all 54 episodes could be on the rock.
No, you know what we could do? Is once you plug it in, it automatically runs the Schedule Plus.
to put it into
your calendar to remind you of the show.
And subscribes to the RSS feed, so you never miss it.
iTunes.
Well,
If you've got iTunes installed, it will eventually show up
inside of Xbox Music. It's just a different process that you have to use to get inside Xbox Music. Wow.
So posted a link to the USB Pet Rock. It's a modern version of the 1970s Pet Rock. Plug and play. Just plug it into your USB port. No feed or care needed. Draws no power.
Nice. Very, very nice. It'd be kind of neat if it warmed up the rock. If the rock was just a little warm. A little resistance on there. It'd be good.
Well, yeah, because your office is freaking cold.
You burn down the place.
Maybe it's actually some kind of like secret Bitcoin mining device. You need a PC on a stick that's running a Bitcoin miner?
Yeah.
Because it's a rock, it's being mined?
Yeah.
Ba-da-boom. Yeah, that was a stretch, dude.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That was, you need to go
I'm
to
working. My
you need to
empty.
Go to yoga to be flexible enough to get to that stretch. Okay,
I don't want to see Rick do yoga.
Have you spent any more beer money? Have you done any random spending? Because we've talked about beer money. So have you done any random spending?
About beer money yet?
We just talked about
beer
That's
money.
What we just talked about.
What about beer talk?
Oh, yeah, Beer Talk.
Because I did Beer Talk.
Do 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes on Beer Talk. We keep on talking about this big conference. That's an internal conference for all the technical field staff of Microsoft coming to town. Half of them come one time, half of them come a different time, and sort of stuff. I decided I was going to open up Beer Team 6.
Secret Lair
Brew House to whoever wanted to show up. And unfortunately, Jared, as a team member, slept through it. Because he had just gotten off of a 27-hour flight back from India or something like that. So he literally showed up at the very end when everyone was gone. But we ended up having about 20, 30-odd people, friends and family and kids that were local and sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Beer geeks and even people I had no idea who they were.
Oh, me neither.
They just found the invite. I did not post it on Facebook that I'm aware of.
No.
So they just found the invite to be able to come and show up. And they brought gifts, so they were allowed to stay. They brought meat.
Meat. There was lots of meat. There was sausages, all kinds of different kinds of sausages, burgers, half a cow.
Half a cow was on the barbecue at one point.
Well, that was the Australian that brought that steak. It must have been
Easily 4 inches thick. Because he eats a paleo diet at home, and so his he doesn't get a lot of good meat, I think.
What's his name, Fred?
No. This is Macca. Macca, Fred Flintstone.
Macca Flintstone?
Macca Flintstone. But anyway, we made a nice Hefeweizen and also a red IPA, or a rye IPA, sorry. And the first one went off without a hitch. The second one, we actually had a little bit of a problem because I forgot to put
the sifter.
The orange peel, which is actually chunks of orange peel, inside of a gauze bag, which meant that we had chunks of orange floating around inside the beer as it's being made, which makes it prohibitive to use a small opening
and a suction device
to get it to go through the chiller.
Yeah.
So it was quite a jerk to have it going. But
he claws the pump.
But I fixed it again. But all done, all cleaned up. I think it's going to be a new semi-annual event.
And you won't believe it, Joey. You can actually walk in Richard's garage now.
Well, no, that was last week. So by this point, it can't possibly be walked.
It's still almost as clean.
Almost as clean?
Almost
as clean. All right. So two new beer, but you did 5 gallon batches this time, yeah?
5 gallon batches this time.
We drank more than that, though.
We drank a bunch because that's the best part about making beer is that you bring your friends over to drink your beer so you can make more beer.
Ah. Right,
and I think I've sourced the issue of possible off flavors with a couple of our kegs.
Oh,
back pressure on the kegs because they're pressurized can potentially, when you have a pressure differential from what's inside the keg to what's coming into the keg, if the what's in the keg is higher, it will actually wash beer potentially back into the keg.
Beer backwash, not good.
Back into the lines, and so there might have been beer that had gotten into the lines. I'm going to disassemble my gas assembly this weekend, probably. Let it soak and clean up and that sort of stuff, in case there was some. Because we had the mysterious, strange taste in some of our beers recently.
Yeah, the kind of crazy, just a little off.
Just a little off, a little annoying. So I think that should resolve it before I hook new stuff up to it. So got a golden ready to go. We got some lagers ready to go. You still have your birthday.
It's getting close.
You still have your birthday bock to make.
I do. We have to make that. But it's getting close. Are we getting close on that first run of the lager that you got all the way down to what? 10,
yes. Yes. The first 10, dry 16, 10, lager 06. Is going to be coming across very soon.
Which one did we keg that night?
That was the golden ale.
The golden ale.
Filtered and kegged. It's not carbonated yet, but it's ready to go. You have to chill the beer down before you carbonate it. I don't have any room.
I'm just excited for that lager. You know what? We should just wait another 2 weeks just to make it even better, right?
Yeah. I'm not in a hurry. Not in a hurry.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear as though the existing lager has been off-tasted as of yet, being hooked up to the kegs.
You know, so
we got to finish.
Me. I was thinking, you do this semi-annually for internal.
Yep.
And we did the inaugural beer talk episode of the Patch and Switch show where we did Beer IT with Mary Jo.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if at the next major event we could find a sponsor. And we don't have to brew like a big, 35 barrel vat of beer. But I know a lot of these breweries have small systems that they use to do trial and sample recipes. I wonder if we couldn't do something where we could kind of, for those who want to learn
the big tanks,
the process. Sorry, the process.
Process.
Process. I'm around a couple of Canadians here. hey. Where folks who want to learn how you make beer, we can kind of go through that process, and then maybe we could steal some ideas and some thoughts from the masters.
Yeah.
right? Because these guys do this for a living. They've got to have some tips, even at for that size a batch.
Mm-hmm. I'm up for that.
I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm just thinking here.
I'm up for that.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
Maybe before the event, you can do something like that.
I think we need to put that in the plans. Put that away. File that one away. I put that in the OneNote file.
Put that in the OneNote file?
I'll put that in my notepad.
Okay. There you go.
Just have a notepad.
I just looked up and I just saw a random whiteboard just rolling down.
That wasn't even a whiteboard. Was there
somebody attached to it?
Yeah.
I just looked up and just saw a flipboard just moving past the window.
That was version
somebody
one.
On the other side.
It could be V2.
It could be V2 or version one of the PPI device.
Yeah.
The
flipboard that follows the internet you around
of
on
things.
Campus.
The Internet of Things. Just
that is definitely a thing of the internet. Have you random spent?
Random spent. I have not. However, we did receive a whole bunch of devices. You can maybe see this up there if you take a look. It's we got new camera gear.
They can't hear you when you turn away from the microphone.
New camera gear. We have new suction cup mounts to be able to go off and to do stuff with that camera gear. I'm thinking I need to somehow manage to get this inside of Mark Rusinovich's Ferrari to do a show with Mark inside the Ferrari. We even have a new soundboard so we can actually have four mics as opposed to three.
Right, the engineer can have a mic.
The engineer can have his mic back when we have a guest, which would always be good. This is officially known as Studio C for Channel 9.
Okay, so here's the thing, but kind of a behind the scenes thing. Officially, it is known as Studio C. However, everybody else working in the Channel 9 group calls this the Patch and Switch Studio.
Yes,
I think we need branding.
I think we need to get one of those wall. No, we need to get one of those
the fat heads.
The Patch and Switch logo over there.
Yes!
And we should just put it up and see if anyone says anything.
That would be awesome.
Because, you know, the green screen actually looked good with the logo behind us when
yeah,
it was in the studio.
Yeah, I actually did go back because that was the first episode that popped up when I was testing the iTunes feed. And it actually didn't look too bad.
I think we should probably...
A little bit of keying issues. I kind of felt that I kept keying for some reason, but the hat did too.
The hat was very sensitive about being keyed because he's so close to green, right?
Yes.
So the idea is that we're going to be able to take these little GoPro devices, mount them on the walls at strategic areas, and then basically
people will get more than one angle?
Just the one angle of your bald head, your bald spot.
Yeah, I know.
That would work.
I hope the glare is not affecting anyone.
Engineer says
it is.
It's not past the engineering. So Naz was nice enough to come over and basically figure this all out. It's a snap.
Joey doesn't like snaps or claps.
It's sensitive hearing.
That's the waterproof casing, which is perfect around this.
So I can dunk this inside my coffee.
Please don't.
It's empty anyway. But I can put that inside my coffee. So we got two of those. Those are exciting to me. I'm very excited to try those out.
So we're actually going to have more than just one shot, and this show will be somewhat professionally done.
The engineer will actually be able to do something.
So the TriCaster board. The TriCaster board will be used for something?
Switches. Apparently, did you fix the switching board thing? The panel?
The actual board is...
The board is busted? I only set it up a couple
Rick,
days ago.
Did you touch it?
I set it up. I plugged it in.
You touched it.
It was working then.
She's gonna look at it.
The blue lights were on the big buttons thing, so I was assuming it was fine. What about you, sir? Did you do any random spending?
I did. They're in my ears.
Oh, nice.
They're in my ears.
Another set sold.
Yeah, so I'm super picky about my earbuds, and I love the sound of my little Sennheisers. I love the fact that they're at the proper price point, but having done four, at the time that I purchased them, that was actually one, two, three, actually it was four at that time, four 5+ hour flights in a row with another two upcoming, I made the decision to go ahead and get them. Because the earbuds, while the sound is fantastic, having them in my ears for so long,
they hurt.
It just wore them out, and I was just like, yeah.
And these ones just cradle themselves.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're fantastic. Yeah. So I actually have been running around with multiple of the little tip things that you put in there to find the right size.
Yeah.
And I think I finally have. And the one thing that has always bothered me about the noise cancellation with the Bose over ears is that I have super sensitive ears in terms to pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And it always felt like it was pressurizing my ears. You know, when you flip on the noise canceling. These, it's not nearly as noticeable, but I'll tell you what, it is so nice on an airplane because I waited to turn on the noise cancellation for the very first time until I was on a plane because I wanted to know, is this going to impact my ears?
Mm-hmm.
So as we were taxiing on the taxiway, because the cabin gets pressurized early, as we're taxiing on the taxiway, and I'm at the exit row, so I'm on the engine, right? And I just clicked the button, and it was just like, dead yep. silent. And I was just like, oh, this is the best thing ever.
It's like,
so which bottle is that?
That's the
QC 21.
21. Yep. Or, 20, 20i.
The 20i.
The 20i, because yeah. you got the iPhone device.
Yep. Yeah. So
they are the best freaking earphones I've ever used. They're worth every freaking penny.
They
for
are.
Sanity.
Yep. They are.
There's every a Bose phone. There's a Bose store at the Toronto airport. I have to fly through on Sunday.
Yeah.
No, what do you have there?
I had to buy one of these.
Oh, Chayshawn had to buy the
Emirates Airflight.
Had to use the dual pronged
nice.
Adapter because the plane was so old.
Buy one in Dubai.
He had nice. To buy it in Dubai. What would that? What did that cost you?
$55.
$3 US.
I think that. I think the Bose comes with that, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
It used to.
It used to.
I don't think
I
it
thought.
Does anymore.
I don't know.
Not anymore. US Airlines don't.
All right. Yeah. No, that doesn't. It's got the USB and you.
My QC 15s, the older generation one does, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely well worth it. Absolutely love those guys. My wife has my pair right now because she needed a pair of headphones, and so she just took those. I've been traveling recently, so.
Yeah, I tell you what, they are
nice.
It was expensive.
Yep.
It was expensive.
Yeah. Somebody said they had to reboot his plane before they left for Chicago last week.
That was Sean Lowe.
Sean Lowe says they had to reboot his plane. Plane. Nice. Well, you know what? The other monitor probably wasn't working.
Up in the cockpit. They just upgraded the plane.
They plugged in something and needed to install a driver.
Okay, so I see that you've pulled out something quite proudly there, Mr.
Yes,
Roman. What is
yes.
this thing you've got there? You got to share this.
This is a...
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you got to hold that up. Pull that off and hold that up, buddy. There you go.
It's a port replicator for the Surface Pro 3 that has RG45 4 USB 3 powered ports and the display port.
Oh, that is awesome.
And it fits, it has the bezel and everything to fit exactly.
To properly angle and everything?
Yep, to fit exactly on the side of the Surface Pro 3.
That looks awesome.
So I don't have to carry my docking station with me when I go present, because it's more than...
Yeah, yeah.
That's very cool.
Let me see that.
That's man. Awesome. That's kind of cool. Although I'm curious as to why they added the USB port on there when that adapter that it connects into can essentially run it.
Nice. Oh, I mean powered? This guy up here,
it's powered. Well, no, because you notice that it connects there, right?
Yeah.
But that actually can transmit via USB.
Yeah.
So I understood. Maybe I'm understanding.
You know what? I bet you this is...
The standard where the power adapter goes in right and where there. The dock goes in.
That is... It's
that does USB because the docking station has
network.
It. And
yeah.
network. I'm curious as to why they added that other
it
port.
It keeps the traffic off of this to make this mainly just for those
guys.
Oh,
gotcha.
Otherwise,
gotcha.
Everything would go through
yeah,
there.
The bus. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I bet you this is also used for the display port as well, so that you're not using the CPU power with a display link
yep.
to make the second monitor work. Instead, you're actually going to be using the
well,
proper...
Well, there is a display link at the top, too.
That is awesome. That is by eToro. E-T-A-U-R-O. Made in Taiwan. Or China, sorry. Oh, there's even a reset button. You
don't
see that?
Touch it. You're going to close it.
That's awesome. It doesn't feel that strong.
Yeah, please give it back.
So you just attach that up to the side, and you've got a whole bunch of powered USB ports.
Ta-da!
That is actually really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually
yep.
really like
and
that.
And actually pretty small, so you can fit in your suitcase or your laptop.
Yeah, yeah, your carry-on. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Okay, that's
like
on the
that.
List.
And the other nice thing is the bottom power is a standard power.
J-Shock says the bottom power is a standard power adapter, so it's a standard AC power, a DC powered unit, yeah.
Right, but I was able to plug. So he bought it from me.
Yes, I stole it because I didn't have time to
there
order
one.
There
was a beer money exchange that happened just
there
before the show started.
Bartering. There was some bartering.
I can actually power.
Oh, he can power it by using his external battery.
Yeah.
You power your Surface with that?
Yes.
Get out of town! What?
I kid you not.
What? Let me see that power
something
brick.
Else there.
Sean Lowe says that is very cool, and I would agree.
Power thing that you're using here.
Though I don't like the color.
So you've got a. Oh, there. Oh, yeah, see, because this like one. The, so yeah. this anchor actually has a power out.
Right.
Yes.
So my anchor doesn't have that. And then you guys got like one of these little things.
Good Lord. It's heavier than the surface itself.
It is heavier than the surface.
14,000 milliamp hour.
14,000 milliamps.
Oh, and you got to switch here for 2 volt or 9 volt?
You do 12 or 9, yeah.
Oh, 12, not 9. 12. There we, look at that.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, I'm putting that on the list.
There we go, man. Here, I'll sell you this
and
for
because
$50.
The adapter.
That comes as a bonus.
That's a bonus?
And because this has that particular port on it, you can just plug it right in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's very cool.
Nice.
Worked well on my trip to India.
Nice.
Sean Lowe agrees with me saying it would be much better in black. I would actually prefer gunmetal gray.
Gunmetal gray.
Or the gray of the surface.
Or a hot pink.
The surface.
But it's vintage.
It. You could paint it.
It's vintage.
It's vintage. It's as the beige of the old IBM PC.
Just quit
IBM
making
PC.
Excuses. Quit making excuses.
He's sitting there fondling it on the side.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, easy. Moving on.
That's quite possibly one of the coolest ones. I kudos to the engineer for locating that one there. Because
two versions.
Yeah?
Okay.
One without. Ethernet with and without a power supply, which is about $35, or this one, which is $100, which includes the power supply.
Nice.
Wow.
Can I see that top thing again? Let me see what it looks like.
Kyle Beckman says he wants his in lime green.
See, this is also probably the perfect size for a sticker that says my other computer is an Azure data center, too.
Hey.
Oh, right there.
Where would I get one of those?
Marketing? I've got some left in my bag.
I think I have some in my office,
I gave a whole bunch of mine away to someone going to India. And
you gave me a stack. I brought it back to the Canadian office.
Yep.
And within a half an hour, all the ATS and all the account managers were like, they pillaged gone. It. They're gone.
We actually had a request for those for WPC as well. So not bad. And
well, have you noticed that now not only Mark Rusinovich has one,
yep.
Scott Goo has one on his system.
See,
and Jason Zander has one on his system.
See, I gave a stack of them to Sanders to put on. So I gave the one to Mark, but the other guys got them. So, yep.
So J-Shock has been nice enough to go ahead and add the link for this little device to the chat room. So
that's not an affiliate link either. It's just a regular link.
It is an affiliate.
Oh, fair.
No, it's all right. It's all
right. No, you know what?
I'm joking, man. We have to be upfront about this sort of stuff. Yes, this is a non-paid, non-sponsored show. However, if you would like to sponsor the show, please contact info@patchandswitch.com.
info@patchandswitch.com, yes. All right. We've got 4 minutes left to go in the show, meaning that it's time to name next week's show. So for those of you out there in the chat room, it's now time for you to throw your one
work safe
word out there.
And we'll go, that fits nice.
Very nice, very nice. So one work safe word, we're going to collect three of them at random and use that for next week's show. Not that we ever know the name of it when the show starts the week after.
We normally program that into the system 5 minutes before we go live.
But it's really cool. Today, last week was Kelvin Leak Keg. I'm not quite sure what today's episode is, but it's really cool when you pull it up into iTunes because that's what you see as the episodes. I love it. I love it. It was fantastic.
Nice.
All right. Come on now.
There's one. There's your MVP.
Buckeye J. Flo. Furby. Furby, what? That's the first one. Furby.
What's Furby?
Furby with these little obnoxious little toys.
I remember what they
toys.
Were. Furbies. Yeah. My daughter has one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's just a good random word. Furby. Come on, chat room. Let's wake up, guys.
Did you guys hear about the? There's a McDonald's toy for the Minions.
Yes.
And it swears.
Yes. They pulled them off, and I want to
find one of those things. And news today. Did you see this? A fellow Canadian, as a Canadian reference. Kraft Dinner has officially renamed itself to KD in Canada. It's now KD.
What is this world going to?
And you've never made it before. I know you've never made it before, but
Pierre
Amal likes to make his own. But my kids
from scratch,
has always
much better.
I grew up.
We have 2 minutes left, and we've got one word.
Come on,
Tamagotchi. Okay, there we go. Furby Tamagotchi Canadians. There, we've got all three.
Okay,
Furby Tamagotchi Canadians. There's all three. Make it so. Make it happen. Make it happen. Hey, so just to reiterate, a happy SysAdmin Day to the people who are out there doing this tireless, thankless job. Nobody calls you and says, just want to let you know things are running great and I appreciate it. So we're going to say that. So
thank
when
you.
Things are running great, thank you. Thank you guys for all that you do. There wouldn't be this show without our fantastic IT guys out there. Guys
Big
and gals.
Virtual
our IT pros. Yes. Our IT peeps.
That's right.
The peeps.
Our people.
Which is not, the peeps are not just the yellow marshmallow thing either.
Where's the band coming in today?
You know what?
Give them a break?
They're around. You just never know because they've now moved from across the studio across the hall. They're four or five doors. Oh, there they are. Okay. They're four or five doors down. Got apparently, it. There's a latency.
A 7-second delay.
Yeah, there's a latency for their music to get to us. Anyway, hey everybody, thanks. That does it again. Does it again for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Big shouts to Vizio MVP, J-Shock Audio Engineer Extraordinaire, Mr. Sean Lowe, my boy J Flo. I love saying that. Kyle Beckman, Tom Kupka, Fair Brit, Phil Erb, Pierre Roman, thanks for stepping in as a guest host Canadian.
Hey.
Boost. Foul Temper, who, remember, he doesn't tweet, he quacks.
Quack, quack.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you again in a fortnight's time. Until then, have a weekend, everyone.
Not trying that.
Sonata. Hey, Billy. I found a new...